Hey guys, before we dive into the show, just wanted to reach out to our listeners and remind everybody that we are indeed still looking for contributors to the SotoMojo.com site. So if you want to write about the Seattle Mariners, meet some interesting people, and have some fun along the way, just go to fansided.com and go to the openings tab and apply to become a contributor to SotoMojo.com. On today's show, we are joined by Dan Clark. From Australia, who is a contributor to SotoMojo.com as well. And this is part two of our starting pitching discussion that we started on Saturday with our friend TJ Moulton. So if you guys, again, if you guys are interested in writing for the website, please go to fansided.com, click on openings tab, scroll down until you find SotoMojo, and click become a contributor. And it would help us out a lot. With further ado, please enjoy the show. That's right. We are here with Dan Clark, the contributor at SotoMojo.com. Dan, thanks for joining us on the SotoMojo podcast.
No worries, mate. Good to be here.
Awesome. So we're going to talk a little bit today about starting pitching. If you guys didn't hear part one of the conversation between me and TJ Moulton, go find it. It's at the SotoMojo Blog Talk Radio page. You can also find it on iTunes along with this episode. It's worth a listen, some good insight there. But it's nice to have a fellow SotoMojo member back on the podcast with us. So let's dive right in here. And much like part one, we're going to be talking about starting pitching. So, Dan, I have to ask you, first and foremost, what were your thoughts about what Jerry Dipoto said over the last week about starting pitching in general? Just real fast for let's focus on Felix Hernandez right now. Just in case you guys didn't hear it, here's a quote from Jerry Dipoto. He said, quote, "I don't know what he can try and stay healthier. Once you have these issues, it's a matter of maintenance. The issue that Felix has endured are happening under his skin. You can't work harder to make ligaments stronger. You can't lose weight and create more stability in an elbow joint. That's not real." So, Dan, what are your initial reactions when you read the things that Jerry Dipoto was saying about Felix Hernandez?
Yeah, and I was actually a bit worried, especially the quote that he said there about the elbow joint. I was pretty sure this year all his problems were with his shoulder. So when he sort of starts bringing up elbow joints and all those other things like that, it's just got me concerned. I know he worked really hard last season, apparently with Iron Glenn. Obviously, sort of all that sort of stuff didn't work. I'm not sure what he's going to do. He's got to redefine himself, I suppose, and refine himself and sort of change the way he goes about doing things. It's going to be hard, but we need him to sort of be that number three at the most, I think. I think the days of him being an ace or even a number two are well behind him, but we still need him to go out there and throw, even if, like Jerry said, we manage it a bit, 160 innings. I think from memory, we didn't have anyone that went over 140 innings last year, which is just ridiculous. So we need to go out there and I don't know what Felix is going to have to do, but he has to sort of refine himself this off-season and help out the team.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned that the Mariners didn't have anybody throw over 140 innings or so. Dipoto addressed that also in his remarks. He said he points out that there were only 15 pitchers who threw more than 200 innings this year, and the Mariners didn't have a single starting pitcher throw enough innings to qualify for the ERA title. So yeah, he also talks about that they're not going to be able to plan on innings from starting pitching that they've counted on before, and they're going to try to go into this off season and look at a creative way to kind of spread out the innings and not require 200 innings from anybody. So when you hear stuff like that, where Jerry DePoto's kind of saying, "Hey, you know, we need a fresh look on how we manage innings and things like that," is that concerning to you, or are you excited about possibly looking at things a new way? What does that say to you when Jerry DePoto is basically saying, "Don't count on anybody on our pitching staff to throw 200 innings"?
Yeah, that is a bit concerning, because that basically tells me he's not going to go out and get an ace type pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to go out and get a. I know Darvish probably is not going to throw 200 innings, but if he stays healthy, he'll throw 180 plus. Arrieta the same. So basically, to me, he's saying, I might sort of look at a three or a four guy or something like that, but he's not saying he's going to go out and get an ace or anything like that. So it is pretty concerning. I'm not sure if bullpenning is something that we can do over a full season. I know they're doing a lot of it in the postseason at the moment, but there's more off days in the postseason and things like that. I don't see it being able to work three or a couple of days out of their rotation every time. It's a bit worrying, but I suppose, we've got to trust Jerry in a way, and he knows more about baseball than I do, so, yeah.
Well, let's hope so.
Yeah. A bit of a question for you off the cuff.
Yeah.
Seattle used 17 starting pitchers this year.
Yep.
How many of them can you name?
All right.
You probably sort of had a bit of a look at this, but yeah.
No, actually, I was thinking about asking you this question, but I didn't look it up. So let's see. There's Felix Hernandez.
Yes.
James Paxton.
Two.
Hisashi Iwakuma.
Three.
Andrew Moore.
Four. Yep.
Ariel Miranda.
Yep.
Christian Bergman.
Yes.
Sam Gaviglio.
Yep.
Marco Gonzalez.
Yes.
Mike Leake.
Yep.
Erasmo Ramirez.
Yes.
How many is that?
That's 10.
Oh, that's only 10?
You got further than I did when I looked at it.
Yeah, I'm sure some names will pop up in my head as we go on. But, yeah, you know, it's tough. I want to say, Andrew Albers.
There's
another one.
Yeah, that's number 11.
I think I got to tap. I feel like I'm forgetting somebody really obvious. But, Giovanni Gallardo.
Yeah, that's the obvious one, yeah.
Okay, so that's 12. That's probably about as good as I can do.
Yeah, well, you've got guys like Chase DeYoung.
Oh, jeez.
Rob Whalen, Chris Heston, Ryan Weber, Dylan Overton. Just guys like that made one start getting there and stuff like that. And
It's not hard to see why those guys are kind of forgettable.
Yeah, that's right. And then you got poor old Drew Smiley that probably never throw a pitch in the Mariners uniform.
Yeah, that one hurts.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah. So that was actually kind of fun.
Yeah.
So I guess 12's not bad, but
12's good.
Yeah, we'll spin it forward to the. Talked a little bit about Darvish and Arrieta and those type of guys. Let's spin it forward a little bit to what Jerry can do, what he can add in free agency. Don't need to go into super specifics, but is there a type of pitcher you want to see them add? Like, is it like a Yu Darvish type where you think they need a number one or number two? Or do you think they can maybe get like a Jason Vargas type and just kind of have a number four? Like, what type of starting pitcher do you think the Mariners need to go out and get?
Yeah, my view on it is sort of what the Mariners have been doing for the last 10 years is just trying to add that. I think I even read a quote somewhere. They're not going to get anywhere if they add pitchers and stuff like that. They're going to be 20 to 25th guys on the roster.
Right.
Like, we're competing now with the Astros. You look at their top three in their pitching. Next year, they're going to have Verlander, Keuchel, and McCullers. And, mate, outside of Paxton, we've got no one that sort of comes close to that. If we want to compete and get to the postseason and stuff like that, we've got to try to compete with Houston. There's no point for me adding that fourth and sort of fifth guys and stuff like that. We need, if we want to compete and be serious, like, we can always go two ways. We can go all in or rebuild. And that's, I think that's what we need. We need to sort of make that decisive call and go, right, we're going all in or we're rebuilding. We're not just going to add guys, sort of lower level guys. That's just, as we've seen over the last 10 years, it might get us close, but it's just not going to get us over the hump. So my opinion is, I think we need to add that guy, whether it's Jake Arrieta and back end his deal, or Yu Darvish, or hopefully Otani. But yeah, they're the sort of guys that I think that we need to go for.
Yeah, Otani's kind of the wild card, isn't he? Because if you can get him,
oh, yeah,
for, I'm not 100% sure how the international signing works, but if you can get him for, like, I don't know, $6 million a year or whatever it is, and he's a number two, that kind of allows you to go out and maybe you can say, hey, we're going to go get Jason Vargas and he's going to be our number five or whatever.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. So it's, if they add Yu Darvish, let's just hypothetically say they add Yu Darvish, are you willing to say, okay, the starting pitching, like, that's aside from maybe one or two small signings, but are you willing to say they add Yu Darvish, okay, we're going to go in with Paxton, Darvish, Felix, Leak, and I don't know, pick your number five starter. Are you willing to say that's enough, or do you still think they should go out and maybe look to add another, you know, middle of the rotation type of starter?
In a perfect world, you can, as we can see from last year, you can never have enough pitching.
Mm-hmm.
We can't really trust, at the moment, James Paxton hasn't had a season where he's made, what, more than 30 starts. So we can't trust Felix is going to be healthy. So if we're serious about it, I think we've even got to add another one, which is probably going to be a bit hard, especially because the farm system's not going to be all that strong. But, yeah, I suppose it's how far are they willing to go to reach the ultimate goal.
What is the ultimate goal, do you think?
For the Mariners, just make it into the postseason. that'll be enough, but to start with. But hey, everyone's ultimate goal is the exact same.
Right.
Be there and win on that last day and get to race the trophy.
That's right. Let me ask you this. It was reported earlier in the week that both Jerry DePoto and Scott Servais are in the last years of their contracts. There hasn't been any news that they've, you know, signed an extension or anything. Do you think that will weigh heavily, specifically on Jerry DePoto, that maybe he'll go out and he'll be a bit reckless because he's only got 1 year left? Or what's your level of confidence in Jerry DePoto with the 1 year hanging over his head?
Oh, that's a good question. I think Jerry will still be here for a while, with or without sort of like talks yet. I never sort of thought of it like that, actually. I don't think he's, like, from everything I've read and stuff like that, obviously I've never met Jerry, but I don't think he's the sort of guy that goes, geez, I've only got 1 year left, I'm just going to blow it up, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's the sort of guy that always wants to contend and always being there. So, yeah, I don't think it'll sort of bother him, but I think they've got to sort of work something out. Like, management and ownership have got to say, look, if we like the way that this guy's going, we've got to sort of give him some, at least talk to him and give him some extra years or something like that.
Right. Not to spin off too much into this, but just your personal opinion here. Do you think Jerry DePoto is the guy? Is Jerry DePoto the guy that you want for the next, let's say, 3 years? Or are you wanting to see how this goes and then maybe decide after?
I like Jerry. I like the way he's sort of gone about it, and yeah, I'd be happy with him for the next sort of three to 4 years.
Awesome. All right, we'll talk. I'm sure we'll talk about Jerry DePoto throughout the off season, so we don't need to spend too much time on him here. But let's kind of go back to the Seattle Mariners and their pitching staff. So I'm going to ask you a pretty difficult task, or at least it was to our last to the last guest. Give me the starting five pitchers for the Seattle Mariners heading into 2018, using only the players that are currently on the roster in the organization. You could use minor leaguers, whatever, but give me your opening day starting five.
Okay, just with the guys that we've got here now.
Yep.
Okay, well, obviously you go Paxton, Felix. I don't think Kuma will be back, so scratch him. Mike Leake is your three. Jeez, and then you're sort of looking down at Erasmo, Albers. Yeah, that's probably it, I think.
That's your five.
Yeah, unless I'm forgetting someone. Miranda's probably your six at the moment. Yeah, I think that's about it. What about yours? Which one would yours be?
Paxton's my one. I mean, the numbers kind of really don't matter that much, but Paxton, Felix, Leake are your three obvious ones. I think I would probably keep Erasmo in the rotation just because I think he earned it after last year and there's no better options right now. So I give Erasmo first shot, and then, you know, it's tough because Andrew Albers is always kind of, he's going to be what he is, and he's a number five starting pitcher, and that's fine, you know, but there's certainly some guys like Ariel Miranda and Andrew Moore who probably have more upside than Albers, but for a playoff team, I think I'd probably go Albers in that five spot, and then I would see if I can keep Miranda around in the bullpen and maybe Andrew Moore as well, and kind of use those four and five spots as the bullpenning type of spots, and see what goes on from there. But I think my five would be the same as your five right now.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. That's good.
Yeah. So let's quick a few questions here. Let's get on it. Question number one: of these starting pitchers who threw for the Mariners, all 17 of them, which one was the most surprising to you? Good or bad? It's up to you.
Yeah. Probably the most surprising was probably Mike Leake. I wasn't, when we signed him, I was a little bit surprised, and then sort of when he came over, he was really good. Like he was sort of coming off that bit of a down year, but yeah, Mike Leake was a good surprise. Erasmo, we sort of gave him a bit of stick in some of the earlier podcasts and stuff like that, and saying he shouldn't make the next start, but he showed all of us, and he was really surprising as well.
I don't know what you're talking about. I was a big Erasmo fan from the beginning.
Yeah.
Go back and listen to some of the older podcasts, guys. You'll see that that's a lie.
Yes, but, definitely.
I was happy to be proven wrong. Erasmo at least looks like he's going to be a contributor of some kind next year. So good on Jerry to get him. Who is your biggest disappointment in the rotation?
Biggest disappointments were Felix with all these injuries, and probably Drew Smiley, that we never get to see him pitch. I was a big Drew Smiley fan and really excited when they got him. And when he went down and they ended up saying he's done for the year and done for probably next year, it was really disappointing.
Yeah, I was also a big Drew Smiley fan, and I was excited when they brought him in, and then it's sad. At least for me, it is. So let's.
No, there we go.
Yeah, let's take of the young guys who threw. These are guys who have been in the big leagues for less than 2 or 3 years. So don't count Paxton and guys like that. But Of the young guys, who did you like the most? Was there maybe somebody who you looked at and said, "Hey, you know, this guy's got some stuff," or you think maybe he might be part of the rotation in the future?
Yeah, part of the rotation. Geez, I suppose to be part of the rotation, you're probably thinking Albers has probably got, like we said, he's probably not going to be much more than a number five, but he's, I love his control, love the way he works, and he just seemed to get out of those young guys. Yeah, that is probably the best of not a mediocre bunch, but just guys that sort of, there's no real superstars sort of jumping out.
They're number fours and number fives.
Yeah,
and
that's yeah.
What's funny about Albers is both you and TJ picked him. And what's interesting about that is that Albers is actually like 31 years old, but
yeah,
he hasn't been in the big leagues for about like 2 years total. So,
yeah.
You know, that's perfectly acceptable. And when you consider what you saw from like Marco Gonzalez and Andrew Moore and just those kind of Chase DeYoung, I mean, it's not really hard to say, you know, Albers is the one that looked the best, because I thought he did.
Yeah,
it's interesting. I was surprised, actually, when TJ didn't take Andrew Moore. He's a big Andrew Moore fan. Let me ask you, what do you think about Andrew Moore? Do you think he's a starting pitcher at this level at some point, or do you think he's just kind of, is he a 4A pitcher? Is he a bullpen guy? What do you think of Andrew Moore?
I like Andrew Moore. I think he's still a bit green. I think he sort of still needs a little bit of fine-tuning in the minors and stuff like that. I think he'll be a good innings eater sort of guy. I don't think he'll ever be an ace or anything like that, but I think he'll be a solid sort of low three, sort of four guy. But, yeah, I don't think he'll be anything, no sort of superstar or anything like that. But, yeah, he could be, if he keeps his head down and all that stuff and keeps working over the offseason, I think he'll be, yeah, he'll definitely eat up some innings next year for us, I think.
Right. I would agree with that. Moore is interesting to me. Of the Gonzalez, Moore, Miranda type, I think Moore is probably the safest bet. I think Gonzalez could end up in the bullpen. And Miranda, I think Miranda probably has the most upside, because we saw Miranda when he was good. He looked really good when he had the fastball and the cutter and the slider and the, or the splitter and the slider all working. He was really good.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, you can't give up 35 home runs and be shocked when you're not in the rotation the following year.
Exactly. And I'm the same. I'm a big Miranda guy. I remember doing the half year sort of awards there that we did and wrote up for Soto Mojo. And we were sort of tossing up at one stage whether Miranda or Paxton was going to be our half year Cy Young. But like you said, 35 home runs over a season, it's just not going to cut it. So if he can work his magic and find out a way to stop giving up the long ball, he'll definitely be in the rotation for a while.
Yeah, I think maybe we'll talk about this when we do the bullpen show, but I think Miranda might be best suited for the bullpen. He certainly, I mean, he's got the 95-mile-an-hour fastball and the good
yeah.
splitter, so I think that's maybe a possibility. All right, so that about wraps it up. But before we go, I want to ask you about a couple of players who are on the Mariners right now but have options that need to be exercised. And you just go ahead and tell me if you would bring them back and at about what cost you think you would bring them back at. So let's start with Yovani Gallardo, who has a $13 million option. I'm assuming that you'll be declining that option.
Yes, definitely.
Is there
goodbye.
Is there any price that you would bring him back at, or are you just kind of done?
Yeah, no, I'm kind of done.
All right. So we'll just move on to what I think is an interesting case. Hisashi Iwakuma, he has a $10 million option. Are you picking that up? If not, are you willing to bring him back on a much lesser deal?
Probably not at the $10 million. actually, probably definitely not at the 10 million. Depends if how we go with sort of our other sort of pitching targets. Mm-hmm. If obviously all those other sort of guys sign elsewhere and the farm system's pretty bleak, but if you can bring him back in, say, a 1 year, $3 or $4 million sort of dollar deal with incentives, yeah, I'm sort of all for it, but definitely not at the 10 and nothing sort of too. I wouldn't give him too much to start with and just have it heavily with incentives.
Right. I would agree with you there. And, you know, the shoulder surgery is probably going to knock him out. And he can start throwing in 5 months. So he'll start be able to start throwing around spring training. But even then, you're probably looking at what, late April, early May, before he can actually come back. So, I mean, you might be able to get Iwakuma back on a minor league deal, which would be, I think, would just be outstanding. Even if you only get 10 to 12 starts out of Iwakuma, that's 10 to 12 starts of like a number four type of pitcher still.
Definitely.
So, I mean, I think that's probably worth it. And then the heartbreaker here, Drew Smyly, the MLBTradeRumors.com has their projected arbitration numbers coming out. They project that Drew Smyly would get $6 million, give or take, if he went to arbitration this year. Obviously, there's a pretty good chance that he's not going to pitch in 2018. And if he does, it would probably only be for the months of August and September. So what do you do with Drew Smyly if you're the Seattle Mariners?
I suppose you got to non-tender him to start with. Mm-hmm. I don't see anybody else sort of going, hey, let's pay him $6 or $7 million for what could be four starts. Mm-hmm. But if you can sort of non-tender him and then getting to agree to a deal where, say, it's maybe a 2 or 3 year deal, and you go, right, I will look, we'll pay you $1 million, $1.5 million this year to rehab, and then go after that and sort of take it up to, like, I suppose, $12 million over the 3 years or something like that. Maybe then I'd be sort of in, but yeah, I'm not.
Right, you're not
sort of doing too much with him.
Yeah, you're not tendering him a contract at $6 million.
No, definitely not.
So if you could get, let's say Smyly comes to you and says, I'll re-sign here. I want $1.5 million for the first year when I'm rehabbing. And you're also going to give me $100,000 for every start I make at the major league level that year. And then in the second year, I want $12 million or whatever. I mean, is that something that you do, or?
$12 million might be a bit rich.
Right, for the year after.
Because I suppose you don't know what you're going to get. You don't know how he's going to come back from his injury.
$8 million with incentives? Is that more?
I think that's getting closer.
All right.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't go
12.
Right. It just depends on what he can get on the open market. But I'm right there with you. I would love to see Drew Smyly actually throw a pitch in a Seattle Mariners uniform.
Definitely.
But all right, so that covers up the starting pitching section of our off-season podcast. Again, if you guys didn't listen to part one, you can find it on the iTunes page. It's also on blogtalkradio.com. Dan, thanks for joining us. This is really fun. And next week we're going to do outfield. So we'll have Nick Lee from Emerald City Swagger join us. Dan, I believe you'll be joining us too. And we'll kind of talk about the outfield, what happened, and where the Mariners need to go. And that'll come at you sometime next week, probably on Wednesday or Thursday. Dan, you have anything to say before we sign it off?
No, that sounds about right to me. All good.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us, Dan. And hey, you know what, guys? We'll talk to you next week. Hey, real fast before we go, if you're interested in writing for the website, we would certainly welcome you. We need a couple more contributors. So go ahead and reach out at fansided.com. Go to openings and apply to be a member of the Soto Mojo Mariners writing team. So that's all we have for you this week. This is Colby Patnode signing off. and we'll see you later. Bye, guys.